You're listening to the Live, Love, Engage podcast. On today's show, what you can do each day to discover the energy of abundance. Stay tuned. I am Gloria Grace Rand, founder of The Love Method and author of the number one Amazon bestseller, Live, Love, Engage, How to Stop Doubting Yourself and Start Being Yourself. In this podcast, we share practical advice from a spiritual perspective on how to live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically so you can create a life and business with more impact, influence, and income. Welcome to Live, Love, Engage. Namaste, and welcome to another edition of Live, Love, Engage, coming to you live today on Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube. And of course, I still want to, as always, welcome those of you who are listening to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And I'm delighted to welcome a guest to the show today who's going to be talking about abundance and prosperity and all that good stuff. So I'm going to welcome Dr. Lynn Anderson to Live, Love, Engage.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. It's wonderful to be here.
Wow, I'm so glad to have you. And I want to share with all of our listeners and viewers out there all of your amazing credentials, the things that you have done. And I can't wait to find out like what has prompted you on this path, because this lady has done a lot of stuff in her life and is doing still a lot of stuff in her life. She is a naturopath, a yoga nutritional therapist, a fitness professional, if I can speak today, karma master, published author, international speaker, and video producer with over 30 years of experience in the field of natural health and fitness. She's been featured in a variety of national publications, including Red Book and Self, Huffington Post, and also as well as being on TV networks and podcasts like ours. And she's the author and producer of the Soul Walking series, a bunch of books that we'll probably get into and talking about those, as well as other health and fitness courses. So yeah, you're quite the accomplished woman, I have to say.
Well, let's put 30 plus years in there too.
Well, you know, hey. That's life, isn't it? Yeah, we do lots of stuff in our lives. And I think we go through sometimes different incarnations. I know I certainly have as well. So I thought we'd start off that way, is to tell, if you could share with us a little bit about what got you. It seems like definitely the health and fitness journey has been the primary thing that you've been doing over the last 30 years. But what prompted you to get started in that?
Well, you know, everybody kind of goes through, the Chinese have a word for crisis, and it also means opportunity. Mm-hmm. So we all go through these crises in our life. And I was many, many, many years ago, I was a young single mother, and I did not have an education. And I decided to go back to school and finish my education at the University of Maine. I had a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old. And no money, nothing, no support, nothing. So I was really, you know, my back against the wall. And I took out loans, grants, work study programs, anything I could do to get myself through school. And, you know, as you can imagine, it was a pretty arduous task. And at the end of that, it was a great accomplishment, but I collapsed from exhaustion and from stress and from all that I had been through, and found myself, you know, just completely physically, mentally, and soulfully collapsed. And of course, with 2 young children to support, you can't stay down too long. You got to figure out how to get back on your feet. And so I relied upon my background. I grew up on a small island off the coast of Maine. And where I grew up, we really ate very organically. We ate whatever was on the island. We used a lot of folk medicine. And so I used a lot of herbs and aromatherapy and organic foods and exercise to physician heal thyself. And that started me on my journey.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's so cool that, well, I guess it was also, the fact of being on an island, it was definitely a little bit harder to be able to get things, supplies, and from the mainland, especially in the wintertime, I would think. So how'd you manage that? Because I have been up to Maine, and it's lovely, but I went there in the summertime. So I can't imagine.
What we would do is, you know, you'd forage during the summertime, and blueberries and whatever was on the island, and fish, mm-hmm. and there was all. My mother would can foods. We always had a garden. You know, it was in my time, it was quite a job to get to town to the big grocery store. We had to go across a bridge and through kind of some rough roads. So my mother would make the trip once a month and load up on supplies. And, you know, it's funny because everybody was cooking something. And it might be you go over to your grandmother's and there's soup on the stove. And I mean, everybody took care of everybody. It was a village and about 500 people. So, yeah, we all took care of each other.
Wow. And I think that's such an important lesson. We've certainly had been learning this lesson again, I guess, over the last couple of years of being forced in a way to not go out to eat and to start eating more, cooking at home and making foods and doing that. And I'm going to ask you this because I know we're going to talk about prosperity, but I just want to stay on the food kick for a little bit here. So why is it, do you believe it is definitely, because I believe this, but why is it better to really spend more time like cooking the foods as opposed to relying on, you know, we've become this fast food culture.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a number of different things. Actually, I teach a course on nutrition. It's called the Yoga of Nutrition. And yoga has a branch called Anamaya Kosha. And it is a branch of yoga devoted to how and what we eat, because we are how and what we eat. Mm. And if you think about it, when you are at home, you have a lot more control over what goes into the food, how the food is handled, you know, and what you are eating, as opposed to when you go out to a restaurant. I mean, let's be honest, you know, you're taking your chances when you go out, you know, and you don't know if the cook is angry that day or if, you know, they don't really care about keeping things clean. So there's a lot of that. And I think when people cook at home too, if they take pride in it and they're really cooking from scratch, you begin to understand and really have a wonderful relationship with food and with nature. And that's what we are. We're part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I appreciate you sharing that because it is interesting because that I feel that we really do need to spend more time getting back to basics and really doing that and for our health. And I think it's good for mental health too. I mean, I always like to cook in the kitchen and putter around. Sometimes I like to use recipes, but then sometimes I realize I don't have the ingredients. And it's like, well, let's just see what happens if I don't use that ingredient, you know, or maybe I'll substitute something else. And it turns out really great. So I think it's good to be able to have fun with it.
Yep.
So I know we wanted to talk, one of the things you wanted to talk about when I had you come on the show, and I loved the idea of it, was to prosper with a purpose. And so what does that mean, actually? Let's kind of start there, and then you can maybe share a little bit about how we go about doing that. So what do you mean by that?
Well, this is kind of an offshoot from karma. And as you mentioned, I am a karma master. And a karma master is someone who has practiced and studied, written about, and taught karma. And it's entirely for a long amount of time. And I've been doing it for over 25 years. So a lot of my books, the basis is karma. And when we move into prosperity, that's just another level of karma. And karma teaches us cause and effect. So if you want a certain effect, you have to look at the cause. If you want to prosper in the world, you have to look at what brings about that prosperity. And what karma teaches us is there are four things that we should aim for every day. Now, I'm going to tell you these four things, but we have to be really careful with not taking too literal the definition. And the four aims are, if we get up every day, and think about this for a minute, if you had these four things in your life every day, wealth, pleasure, harmony, and liberation, which means free will and choice. If you had those things come into your life and they were part of your daily life, you would be a very prosperous person. That's the essence of it.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. And wealth doesn't always have to mean necessarily money either, does it?
No, you know, I recently, and this will give you kind of an idea about wealth. No, it doesn't mean money. The other day I met someone and we were in a conversation and she shared something with me and it was kind of a missing piece to something I was trying to put together myself. And I had that eureka moment. Aha, that's the piece. And I said to myself, wow, I just got wealthy. Someone gave me an idea or something that will allow me to be creative. And when we're creative, when we're using our energy creatively, we can't help but be wealthy. Yeah. It comes in that way. So that's an example. Health, if you get up and everyone in your family is healthy that day, you are a wealthy person. We get caught up in the material part of it.
Right.
And we do need the material part. And as I do teach my students, strive to be materially wealthy because in a wealthy society, we have better education, we have arts, we have better medical care, we have all of those kinds of things. So we should try to prosper that way. It's just, what do you do with the money? Where does it go? And how do you know, does it become what we worship?
Right.
Or do we use it in constructive ways?
Yeah, exactly. So you're telling us that we, you know, could focus on those four things. Are there specific, tips or something to be able to help someone to be able to then do that? I mean, are there any techniques or something that you tell your clients and share with them about those?
Well, it's awareness. So if you think about those four things, you know, we all have little moments of pleasure throughout our day and they slip right past us because we don't appreciate them. We don't stop and appreciate. You know, my little granddaughter, I have a little 4-year-old granddaughter, and she'll come over and play with me and it's the most fun and pleasurable part of my day. And I appreciate it for what it is. It gives me great pleasure. So it's looking for the little things. We're always looking for those big things every day, you know, and nobody's going to in one day become a millionaire in one day of this process or find ultimate pleasure and harmony. It's a consistent thing every day where you put your focus. Where you put your focus, karma, where you put your energy is what you will get. You know, the effect comes from the cause.
Awesome. Now, I wanted to ask you a little bit, too, about this soul walking series. So does that kind of fit into what you're talking about as well? And maybe share a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, the soul walking series is my karma book and my prosperity book and my vitality book. So those books come into the series. And the series is really about taking a couple steps back and connecting with your soul and learning to walk on this earth from the soul's perspective, because the soul's perspective is objective. You know, it's humans that put the emotion in, you know, in the body and the mind. Those are the things, you know, the soul observes, and the soul is here to observe, to gain wisdom, and to try to help you correct your karma or work it through, you know. But most of us are living up here. Then if we're lucky, we kind of drop down to the body, but we're mostly up in the head and we don't, you know, so you try to get the body and mind connected, but then there's the soul too. So the soul walking really is according to karma. That's why you're here. You chose this body. You chose this life. You chose all of this for your soul.
And actually, that brings me to another question, because, you know, you've been using the term karma, and I know sometimes people think of it more in terms of like, oh, you know, karma, you know, that's going to come back and bite you. So what's your definition of karma?
Well, karma is simply, it is not about good and bad, because that's judgment. And it's a very pop culture to say, oh, that's bad karma, that's good karma. It's not. Karma doesn't, it's not judgment. Karma is work. And it means cause and effect. If you don't like the effect of something, look to the cause and work on it. Because karma is about you. And I'll give you an example. You know, if I go out and I steal something, I'm a thief. Now, I may never, ever, ever get caught, but I have to carry that in my consciousness. I have to carry that with me. And I will act and react in different ways because maybe I'm going to be afraid the rest of my life. I'm going to get caught for that. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to do, and there I set a negative karma. So, and I may never get caught. So it's not like if I go out and I steal something, bad things are going to happen. I may skate through life. Or appear that way.
Right.
But what's going on? And when that stuff's going on in there, what kind of havoc is it doing to my body? What kind of stress? So that's an example of how, you know, karma works.
Yeah, that's interesting. And especially putting it in relation to how it's going to affect the body, because you think about, you'll see people sometimes that outwardly seem very successful, but at the same time, maybe they're overweight or who knows, maybe they're having other issues, you know, physical ailments that that aren't necessarily readily apparent to someone. But yeah, it may be because of that karma. So if someone's listening to this and wants to start doing what you're saying, is there any way that they could get it wrong?
Get it wrong?
Yeah.
We get it wrong all the time. Yeah. We're always having to correct. And as I remind my students, you know, here it is. It's practice. And just when you think you've got it, practice some more, because that's the way it is. I mean, I've been practicing this for over 25 years and I still have to work every single day on my karma. So it's not about good or bad, right or wrong. It's about observing. If I do something and it is not serving my body, my mind, and my soul, serving my highest, then it's up to me to observe that and try to work it through and change that. But that's easier said than done.
Yeah, for sure. What would be actually, so let's talk about that a little bit. So what would, is there something that would trip up people and maybe that they need to be maybe mindful of or something and to be able to, deal with that?
Yeah, in karma, there are four great passions and everything comes from those four great passions. And one of them is anger. We can all relate to that. Everybody's had the experience of anger. And that's not a bad thing. That's a human experience. And we experience that with the opportunity that we can also understand kindness. So, you know, they're two sides of the same coin. And we need to have that experience of anger or we would never really understand kindness. So it's when you are, if you find yourself in a situation in your life where you're around angry people or your anger keeps getting tested or that emotion keeps spinning and spinning and spinning. That's your primary emotion that you're here to work on. And until you connect with that and start to change that, you're going to continually be in, that's what it means to be in that continual karma loop of it goes around and around and around and you just can't get away from it. But when you're able to say, and you feel it, and we all know when we're angry, you feel it coming up and you want to project it out onto the other person, but the other person didn't make you angry. You have to own the anger and say, wait a minute, I'm turning into an angry person. I don't want to be an angry person. How can I step back and have some compassion and understanding, even if that person is totally unaware and is being the most obnoxious, horrible person? Can I bless them?
Yeah.
If I do that, I've removed the anger. I'm not an angry person. That's, you know, again, easier said than done.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah. And I'm just remembering my mom, God rest her soul, because she was an angry person and it really did show up in her physical body because she had a lot of issues, you know, number one, high blood pressure. So for one thing, and arthritis and all sorts of things. And so, yeah. And there's, And it's hard because there's only so much you can do. You know, you can help people, but ultimately they have to make these decisions for themselves. They have their own karma to work out, I guess, right?
That's it. Yeah. And you have to bless that they are on their karmic path. And, you know, everybody's path is unique. And, you know, just because someone is a multimillionaire and has all kinds of money and all the bells and whistles doesn't mean that they're happy. You know, I have many clients that I've worked with who are very wealthy people, and they were miserable, absolutely miserable. And I've worked with people who really didn't have much, and they were the happiest people in the world. So really, you know, material things are meaningless unless, you know, it begins with you. Now, and again, I go back to there's nothing wrong. And this is where people get it mixed up. They think, well, if I have to be a yogi and I have to be spiritual, I have to live this very austere life. I can't have material. No, make as much as you can, get as rich as you can, and support education, art, support, exactly. You know, healthcare, support helping those that are less fortunate. Use that, you know, to create a wealthy society. Because if you look at a poor society, they don't have those things.
That's right. Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah. It's because that's it. You can do so much more with money when you have it than when you're, you know, just living paycheck to paycheck. Then it's harder to do. And I believe that sometimes, even if you can still give a little part of it away to somewhere that is going to help create a little bit more circulation back in your life as well. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, you know, you get what you give,
right?
You know, and karma always teaches us that if you have more comes into your life than you really need, give back. That's what we're here. We're here to give.
Mm, yeah, and that's a way to show love as well, you know, by doing that. So, which is what we need more of in this world, a little bit more love. What's a commonly held belief that you passionately disagree with? Maybe even as it relates to either health or karma.
I guess it's that, you know, I'll attend to it tomorrow. Mm. I'll take care of it tomorrow. Procrastination, you know. Because, you know, you have to pay attention to what's going on today. You know, there's a line from a movie, and it says, live your life as if today was your last day, and one day you're going to be right. Mm. You know, and that kind of penetrates me. It's like you have to live your life as if this is the last day, grabbing as much of it as you can, but also hoping to live a long and healthy life. So I think it's when people tend to think, well, you know, I don't need to pay attention to that. Someone else will do it, or I'll get to it tomorrow. That's when we can kind of get ourselves in trouble.
Mm, yeah, definitely. What are you curious about right now?
How to write a novel.
Oh.
Okay. The reason for that is I've written a lot of self-help books. And one of my projects is I've been keeping notes on a novel that actually there's two of them and that for 25 years. And it's a whole different thing to write a novel. So, that's kind of like, oh, I'm going to need to find someone to help me kind of get in this direction. So that's kind of the thing that, I'm the most curious about.
Okay. All right. Well, I know there's resources out there, and it's probably even local writers groups in your community too, I would imagine, that can help and give you some support on that. So can you give us a hint about maybe what the subject matter is going to be?
It's something that we all experience in life. It's called disappointment. Something we all experience in life. And it's this woman who goes through life's disappointments that we all go through.
Mm. Okay, cool. Well, we'll look forward to that in maybe the next year or two. Okay, you know, let's declare it and then you'll get it done.
That's right. That's a good. That's good.
Be accountable. We can hold you accountable.
Is
there anything else that I haven't asked you about that I should have that you'd like to be able to leave our listeners with?
Well, the thing that I would emphasize is that the most important thing in your life is your health. And if you, no matter what you want to do in life, no matter what endeavor you intake, If you don't have your health, your vitality, and your radiance, it's not going to happen. So we get so caught up in, you know, what success is, you know, having that house, having that education, having that job, having that bank account, that we forget that there's got to be some energy behind it. And the energy has to become come from a place of health and vitality. And we all know, just have the common cold and go to bed for a couple of days and it disrupts everything in your life. So, you know, that is the most important thing in your life and the number one thing you should be focusing on. The rest of it will take care of itself.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that 100%. This has been wonderful, and I've been enjoying our conversation so much. And I'm still, oh, I know what I wanted to ask you about. What gets you excited about the work you do?
The people, the students, the clients. When I'm able to just help somebody who's maybe lost, or I'll tell you the greatest thing, you know, I'll teach a class and how I teach my class is I have a lesson and we follow the lesson through the yoga class. And when someone comes up to me after the class and throws their arms around me, used to be when I wasn't doing virtually, and would say, how did you know that that's what I needed today? I didn't know that, but I brought that. And it's like, and there's a smile on their face. Sometimes there's tears coming down, but you know that you did something. And there's no amount of money that you can place on that feeling. So that's really the most wonderful feeling, really is.
Oh, that's excellent. Yeah, it is great when you can help clients and you see them really succeeding or getting something, you know, finally, like really understanding it. That is that is a wonderful feeling. Well, if someone wants to know more about your books or your classes, and so you mentioned you're doing online classes right now. So how can they contact you? What's the best way?
Well, they can go to the Dr. Lynn's website, drlynn.com. They can also email me at info@drlynn.com, which is Dr. Lynn spelled out. If any of your listeners out there want to send me an email, I will send them a gift. I can, you know, send them a free pass to one of my yoga classes, or I have a book called The Undiet. It's a little booklet, and I'd be more than happy to share that with anyone. So if they want to reach out and say, hey, and tell me that they saw me on your show, that'd be great. I'll get that back to you, you know, and I'd love to, you know, connect with them and send them a gift.
All right. That sounds great. Well, I'll make sure I will have all that information in the show notes. So tell me a little bit about The Undiet, and it might really inspire people to do that. Okay. So what is that about?
Basically what it is that we need to stop dieting and focusing on diets. We need to focus on health. Okay. So when you start focusing on health and you understand the difference between health and dieting, because most diets fail, then it's a lifestyle. So it's not about taking away any of the cookies or the candy or any of that stuff you want to eat. You can eat as much of that as you want, but you have to follow the Undiet first, which is fueling your body what it needs. When you fuel the body with what it needs, more than not, it will eliminate those things naturally. And when it does, we manage our weight, you know, or even lose weight. But the most important thing is vital energy. Doesn't matter if you're 5 or 10 pounds overweight, the body's okay with that as long as you're giving it the nutrients it needs to be healthy. So that's really the essence behind it. And there's tips in there for how to do it.
Cool. Excellent. All right. Well, I look forward to that. And I can attest to that because I know that when I'm eating healthy foods and then maybe I'm at a party somewhere and I might try a little something. It's like too sweet. And it's like, I don't even like it anymore. It's like, give me a piece of fruit instead.
Exactly. Exactly. And the body's going, yay.
For sure. Oh, awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate you coming on the show. And it's been a pleasure getting to know you a little bit more and having you share your wealth of information with us today. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much, Gloria. It was really fun to be here. Thank you.
And I appreciate all of you who've been watching and listening and commenting. I saw a few comments coming by, so thanks for that. And if you receive value out of this today, I encourage you to either share it on your favorite social media platform, or if you're listening to this, also maybe make sure that you are subscribed to Live, Love, Engage, or invite a friend to subscribe as well. And until next time, as always, I encourage you to go out and live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically. Did you know that a majority of entrepreneurs tend to discount the importance of their work? And a good number feel their success is simply due to luck. I know from personal experience that self-doubt can keep you from having the kind of life and business you desire. That's why I've created a free guide called Uniquely You: How to Move from Self-Doubt to Self-Love in 4 Simple Steps. To claim your free guide, go to liveloveengage.gift. That's liveloveengage.gift.